everyone. Welcome back to the Well It Depends podcast. I'm your host, Derek Doyle, and this is Andrew Barron. Today's episode is being recorded on July 8th, 2026.
The information in this episode is current as of the date recorded and is not intended as financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult your tax, financial, and/or legal advisors before implementing any transactions and/or strategies concerning your finances.
In today's episode, we're going to recap the markets and macroeconomic factors. This is kind of a follow-up podcast from one that we recorded back regarding the IPO market regarding SpaceX and kind of where the market is since then. So since that last podcast, the new chair, Kevin Warsh, held his first meeting. And instead of rate cuts, everyone expected, the committee is now more hawkish and is expecting that the Fed funds rate, if anything, will likely receive a hike by the end of the year rather than a cut. So that was something that was unexpected. The markets didn't really move in a great direction regarding that news. So we're going to talk a little bit about what higher for longer quite might mean for where we're possibly positioning some of our cash. And the market itself had its best first half in years. The Dow up 9% as we're up midway through the year. The S&P is up just under 10% midway through the year. And then the NASDAQ is nearly up 13% midway through the year. And as we take a look at kind of the world and capital markets, we've been on a very historic stretch. There's a lot of international companies, specifically SK Hynix, you might have heard in the news, which is a AI memory chip company, has been up over 770% in the last 6 months following the AI trade build-out narrative. So let's get into our first topic, the new Fed chair and the hawkish pivot where Warsh held rates where they are and hikes are now more likely than cuts before 2027. When talking about higher for longer, Andrew, when it comes to rates, what are you recommending clients for cash allocations? Where should they be thinking about putting that cash to work as we are in looking like the rates are going to hold where they are for now?
There's a lot of uncertainty going into the year that I'm sure we'll talk about later in the episode. And because of that, I think money markets make a lot of sense. You get the benefit of current interest rates, which are competitive depending on where you're shopping, especially compared to CDs. And if we were to see a rate hike happen, meaning interest rates go up, money market funds would benefit from that, and you would see additional payouts. You would capture that versus a CD where you're locking in whatever today's rate is for X period of time.
And for, as a timeline, the next Fed chair meeting is going to be end of this month, July 29th. So that will obviously provide some more guidance on where we see rate cuts, if they will happen at all. Or are we leaning towards more of a Fed hike where we have seen inflation tick up slowly but surely? A lot of that playing into a role with the Iran war and oil prices. I mentioned Iran, I mentioned oil. I feel like it is worth talking about the strikes being back on. We saw in the news that despite a deal being put through, Iran has launched some strikes overnight. And how do you think this plays into now the inflation, the oil prices, and how we look at the second half of the year in terms of where we're seeing the direction of possibly oil and inflation going?
Well, before I said, I was really looking over July 4th weekend where the price of oil was. Had it exceeded $5 nationally? And on my way to work this morning, at least in New York, it was under $4. So we at least haven't seen an oil spike yet. And I think that's where that really dictates where we go. Price of energy is so systemic to the cost of everything. And what's in a lot of the AI build it assumes and is built on cheap energy costs. And if that rises 20%, that's going to kind of spill out into everything else.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing to watch. What is the price of oil and what's the trajectory of
it? Yeah. Now, coupling that with, we've seen inflation tick up, but we've also seen the overall market in the first half tick up in terms of the where we're sitting at across all indices. So Dow, S&P, NASDAQ all had great first halves of the year. this is a good point where, as advisors, we like to take a look at and see, is there any sort of rebalancing that needs to be done inside of portfolios as we reach that mid-year point? Mostly because I think both you and me can agree that this surge we've seen in the markets is very top-heavy, meaning it's a very concentrated few companies that are benefiting strictly off of the AI build-out and the AI investments going into the infrastructure. And it's a few names that have had a historic run, and your portfolio could be very concentrated in those mid-year, where we could see some rebalancing discipline need to take forth. What are some of the conversations that you're having with clients who might have these very highly concentrated positions and are possibly realizing some big gains midway through the year?
A lot of clients, especially if these are taxable accounts, are concerned about the tax burden that these venture debts caused. But I like to always point out that rather pay a fixed amount in taxes and lock in those gains and do something with it, or don't reinvest, or maybe take some profits to enjoy some of the fruits of your labor or fruits of your investment, so to speak, rather than suddenly see the market turn around suddenly.
No.
There's a race in the industry. The market takes the stairs up, but the elevator down.
Yes.
Which I think, especially in, we haven't seen a major, major down market in a while. And people are a little forgetful from, say,
the time,
where we did see things collapse quickly. And historically, that's what happens, where, especially in a store brand, it makes sense to just take profits, consistently disciplined. And the other key thing is piecemeal. It isn't an all or nothing. It's okay to divide up into 4, 5, 10 different selling points. Just be disciplined about it.
Yeah. And we've seen a few examples where price targets of some of these highly appreciated stocks are getting close to being hit, meaning we maybe have only 10% left upside before you hit a target. But we recently had a conversation with someone who was maybe a little bit stubborn to sell something that seemingly is going up every single day. You have to realize that your 10% upside is also possibly dwarfed by, like you were saying, take the elevator down, a 30% downside, where does it make sense to wait an extra 3 months for an extra 10%, where you could see in maybe a month, 30% in value go down? So you have to be weighing out those risks of, am I going to wait another 3 months for 10% more, you know, increased in gains, versus I could possibly lose 30% in a week because of how already inflated a lot of these stock prices are. So I think diversification, I think just discipline rebalancing is key as we hit the mid-year point in this market. Now we kind of move on to where we are in terms of the recent IPO of SpaceX and IPOs potentially coming down the road, aforementioned Anthropic. I think it's also important to note that Alphabet, Google, raised $85 billion in stock as well. This is not an initial public offering, but this is them going to the equity markets looking to raise cash, an additional public offering that is not via the debt market. And also, it's not funded versus their own free cash flow. So I think you and me both had a conversation recently about this. It could be seen as a red flag in the sense that a company that does have enormous amounts of free cash flow doesn't have that at their disposal because of how much they are spending, are going to the equity markets to raise this cash, and they haven't done so in quite a long time. It could be seen as a red flag where they might be spending possibly more than they could actually, you know, return in some sense. And I think that's always been the story, where are we spending too much that the return on investment is not worth it? What are your kind of thoughts when you see a big company like Alphabet go back to the equity markets to raise cash?
You said it is concerning, where if the technology was as profitable as the narrative says it is, they wouldn't need to do this. They should just be able to pay for itself, essentially, rather than needing to raise additional funds to pay for things.
Yeah.
We've also seen that coupled with major layoffs, which, once again, You can have a narrative behind it, but historically that says that companies are struggling behind the scenes on the Republic's core businesses, maybe, or because they're stepping out too much on capital expenditures or CapEx.
Yeah.
I guess the other kind of compounding thing is all of these major equity raises. SpaceX was large.
$86 billion Yep.
And Anthropic's coming down the pipeline. OpenAI potentially could be on kind of pipeline. There's always so much cash. There's always so much investor appetite. Where is the, are these funds coming from? And does that, if one of these IPOs fails, does that change the narrative such that the whole market has a correction? Would be another concern of that.
Yeah. And SpaceX, just to follow up, they raised $86 billion in their initial public offering. They officially joined the NASDAQ index after their initial public offering. Yes, correct. And just to touch upon, I mentioned them in earlier, SK Hynix, which is the AI memory chip company, the Korean AI memory chip company, they're set to release an ADR, which is an American depository receipt, on the NASDAQ. And they're targeting July 10th and looking to raise $29 billion via the ADR. And essentially, an ADR just allows American investors to have access to this Korean-listed company via U.S. dollars. It's just U.S. dollar exposure, so you don't have to go through some form of, previously, not to get too technical, but you had to go through some sort of Korean-based ETF that was in American dollars to get some sort of exposure to them. Now, via the ADR, you can get direct exposure to them on U.S. exchanges like the NASDAQ. So we are seeing a lot of money needing to come out of the public markets to fund a lot of this AI build out. So it's just something to keep an eye on as we enter the second half of the year. Speaking about the second half of the year, I know you've been speaking a lot of the, in terms of investment performance, around the idea of it being an election year. Explain to the audience why the election year, quote unquote, status of this year holds a lot of weight when it comes to overall performance in the markets.
So this is a major election cycle. So historically, the party in power does lose seats in Congress, but right, they also try and reduce that and, you know, mitigate that risk as much as possible. So trying to keep the economy strong, since that's how a lot of Americans thought, is pocketbooks, how am I living today? So trying to keep the market up and the economy moving forward is important to the current administration. That said, it's also likely to be historically volatile with all of the compounding factors we've already talked about.
Yeah.
So we've seen major upswings and major downswings, and I would obviously expect that to continue through November.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just a quick recap, so some things to keep an eye on as a viewer. We mentioned the Iran conflict. That is obviously something second half of the year we want to keep an eye on. The inflation, direct correlation to what's going on with Iran, with energy and oil prices. The election year, obviously, the results might have some weighing and impact on how the market reacts to those results. And also, we mentioned it before when we were talking about the concentrated positions and how the growth of this current market is very segmented to just a few names or just a few sectors, is tax considerations. Keeping an eye on what are your realized gains, because we don't want to have any big overseen tax liability that could have maybe been planned and, you know, accordingly now, instead of catching up to us come filing time and we don't have any more time or wiggle room to do any extra planning. We either have to foot the bill and pay the penalty. So right now is kind of the second half of the year is your true opportunity to get ahead of some of these planning aspects. I think that'll do it for today's market and macro recap. So once again, thank you guys for watching. I'm your host, Derek Doyle.
And I'm Andrew Beer.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for watching. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss future updates. Looking for more insights like this? Head over to our website at jgua.com for additional resources. And if you'd like to talk about your personal financial goals, we'd love to help. Just click the Schedule a Meeting button highlighted on your screen to book your complimentary consultation. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you in the next video.